this particular study that we're involved with in this month is about marriage and the home. And the fact that individuals grow up in life and bring certain attitudes and mannerisms to a marriage, and from that marriage then there emanates others that come forth as children in the family. They're reared with a certain attitude, a certain mannerism that is acceptable to parents or not acceptable to parents, and as a result they begin to practice that same walk of life that they accept as a way of life that they should do and they should follow in their own marriage. And so it continues on. The role model that is played out now could be a role model played out in actually another family and continue on down the stream of time. As we read back in Psalms 124 in regard to the arrows in the hand of a mighty man, we're talking about children of his youth. It is said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. They will do him good all the days of his life. He talks about them being very effective and speaking with even the enemies who come to the gate of that man's house. The idea is that they will represent those values that are there. They don't want the father and mother to be torn down. They don't want their home life to be disrupted. They don't want them to be destroyed. They will speak with the enemy who comes to the gate. And notice that as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, not only do they extend a power against an enemy at the gate, but also they reach into the distant future. And reaching into the future, they find an opportunity there by way of their loves, and by way of their romances, and by way of their marriages. They extend into the future to bring the values of that home life and that way of life of that man of God who is there and who has begotten them, and as a result, here is an arrow into the future of the time for opportunity to do good. You know, we need to have more and more of that opportunity. We probably, as many communities are in this country, suffering mightily because of the failure of those role models in days gone by. There have been some good ones, to be sure, but there have been some poor ones, to be sure, also. And the fact that there are children reared by a single parent nowadays is showing up on the crime wave. We see, we read where those particular people who are vandalizing, who break in, and who often are a part of crime in a greater percentage, are those that have had rearing by only one parent. Or a parent that was working, a parent that was away from home a great deal of the time. And as a result, this little child was growing up with the values seen on the movies or in the television. And as a result of seeing those values and emanating those ways of life, it is the practice of that individual to say, I'll see somebody not at home, I'll see somebody that's gone out the car and out their driveway, and I'll rob their place, I'll rob them of their possessions that they've worked for, that they've labored for, that they've paid their funds for. But I'll take advantage of that. And again, that is increasing in number to the degree that the world at large is looking at that particular thing and saying, this is something that needs to be addressed. This is something that needs to be corrected. Well, how are you going to correct a family that's in a decision made to be a single parent? By way of death, you can't protect them from that, and that brings about a single parent situation. By way of people who live mean-spirited and thus are divorced, and that brings about that's going to be something else to decide to do. How are we going to rectify that particular matter? Why can't we do this from the standpoint of all the above? We would work together as a community. We'd work together as the church. We'd work together in the programs and activities of the church. In Vacation Bible School, in gospel meetings, in lecture programs, in youth days. What are we emphasizing in those youth days? Service, thinking about others, doing God's will, behaving as we should. Those are the things that we're emphasizing. We're not emphasizing vandalism. We're not emphasizing being thieves. We're not emphasizing anger that brings about murder. To the contrary, we're treating the type of people here with programs and activities, many of whom are not members of the church, but they are doing good things and helpful things, and they're part of those who are members. And the influence has been great and good. Most of the time, it's not the case. They love others, they want to teach others, they want to work with them. They want to talk to people about why things have turned out the way that they have for them. And as a result, encourage a little more savings, a carriage a little more service, encourage a little more doing right things rather than ungodly things. In a home and marriage, there is the bringing of the role model to that home and marriage. Just like that person grew up, that can be repeated again. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. They are so powerful they will speak with even the enemy that come to the gate of his house. We live in a time where we are influenced by the various things that we buy, that we eat, and that we ingest into our bodies. We know that there are the elements of hormones that are used, and as a result, we have children that are, and we are as adults, growing up faster. Physically, we're becoming older sooner. Physically, we're becoming mature sooner. And as a result of that, we find that in today's world in which we live, in the South in which we're found, we're finding that children are able to conceive other children at younger and younger ages of life. Some as young as 10 years of age have conceived a child largely out of an abuse situation, largely out of an unprotected situation. Do we not, as servants of the Lord, need to address such a matter? And how can we address that? Number one, we need to be people in the family that talk about our bodies and the fact that we pay attention to our bodies. You know, one of the first things that is found sometimes by the individual is something that's a cancer, skin cancer, for example, something that looks different, it looks odd, it's darker, it's redder, it's something that's a problem more. And to have that checked out and to go to a doctor that is appropriate and looking at that and seeing it and studying it throughout the years, that doctor may say, this which looks like just a regular thing is in fact deadly melanoma, and that just in a few weeks or a few months of time beyond this, it will have a devastating effect upon your life. And thus changes can be made, and you can arrest something early because early it is found. We also need to talk to our children in regard to their private matters of their bodies. We all have private matters of our bodies. And those private matters of our bodies, at whatever age of life, and again we say, at tender ages of time, younger ages of time, we need to point out belong only to you and to your future husband, to your future wife. These private matters of your body are special, and God has entrusted this with you. And you have to look to the future and see that these things don't belong to just anyone under any circumstances of life. They belong to your husband. They belong to your wife. The conviction that is created by that, I don't know that we know the full answer to it. I don't know that that's going to be a solution to, but if it's a solution for my Christian family, if it's a solution to my Christian walk, if it's a solution to my Christian decision making, won't it be worth it for me and for mine? Won't it be worth it for my family and my home life? Most couples are surprised by that. And when I explain that in the first year of your marriage, you may have twins, and you may have twins in the second year of your marriage. And you can be married 2 or 3 years and have 4 children. I've never had the couple yet to look at one another and say, well, that's the world we ought to walk. That's the thing we ought to do. That's the plan we ought to make. Hallelujah for that. I've seen them to the contrary look at one another in stark reality and say, Have you ever thought about that? What? And I said, have you ever talked about such matters as this? Some will say, yes, we have, but not about that. Some will say, no. It's a subject that we just haven't talked about at all. If you're mature enough to marry, surely you're mature enough to realize what comes from marriage and marital intimacies. And the fact that we have children that can be taught about intimacies that are private to them and to their future husband or wife has become a very important topic. And the fact that we help them in a late time of deciding. I have a preacher friend who said that there are two things in life that he believes he never talked any young person out of. One was a decision to quit school. He said, I just don't believe I've ever talked a single one out of quitting school. If they decide to quit school, they're going to quit school. That's not a wise thing to do. That's not a workable thing to do. That's not a job-finding thing to do. It's not good. But they decided they're going to do it. And he said, in spite of my telling them that this will be a problem for you getting a job, this will be a problem for your future, I don't believe I've ever talked anybody out of quitting school. And he said, the second is, I don't believe I've ever talked anybody out of getting married. No matter how unethical it would be, no matter how ill-advised it would be, no matter how much they ought to reconsider, I don't believe that once they said, I'm going to get married, I've ever successfully talked somebody out of marrying that individual or marrying at that time. Well, I don't know that that's the case, and I don't know how many is the case that when I preach a lesson like this, that it gets people's attention enough to really think about and to discuss with and be planning for a better decision-making in marriage and a better decision-making in the home. If you're not that person's husband, if you're not that person's wife, their private matters and private body parts belong to them. When I'm a person of prayer, I grow in some strength. I grow in some ability. And our Lord Jesus, before he left this earth in Matthew 26 and in verse 41, noted, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. We find ourselves spiritually saying, I'm a servant of God, but we find ourselves in the flesh practicing things that are not of God. But if we'll be watchful and prayerful, what will happen? We'll be more victorious over the temptations that we face. More temptations and struggles will not overcome us. We'll be able to overcome that. I hope this lesson has been of help to our homes and families, that we'll pass along the word to others, and that we'll often pray about it. This particular lesson will be on the internet side of our CrockettMSChurchofChrist.com, and others can be able to hear the study that's been done in regard to this particular topic of having a better marriage and better home life and better things done in the future, because those arrows in the hand of a mighty man are going to land somewhere down the stream of time.
This lesson today is not in regard to the plan of salvation so much as it is how to live for the Lord in a good marriage and good homemaking. But that gospel plan of salvation is found in the book of Acts of the Apostles. People heard the word of God. They believed it. They repented of their sins. They confessed their faith in Christ. And they were baptized into Christ in every example in the book of Acts. Won't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today and become a Christian and rear your family in such a way that your family will be as arrows in the hand of a mighty man?